بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزا الله عنا سيدنا مولانا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله الحمد لله رب العالمين my dear brothers all praise is to Allah سبحانه وتعالى who has gathered us in his masjid on a Friday after Asr a very blessed time for the dhikr of Allah for making dua to Allah سبحانه وتعالى this is the best of places to be at this particular time and Allah سبحانه وتعالى has chosen us to be here My dear brothers, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam requested Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a method of remembering and making dhikr of him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Musa alayhi salam, O Musa, recite La ilaha illallah. So Musa alayhi salatu wasalam told Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Ya Allah, all your creation are making the dhikr, I need a special dhikr. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again replied to Musa alayhi salam that O Musa read La ilaha illallah. On the third request of Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, when he said, I require something very special for me alone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, something to that effect, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then told Musa alayhi salam, O Musa, if the seven heavens and the seven earths were placed on one pan of the scale, and this kalima was to be placed on the other pan of the scale, the kalima will outweigh all the seven heavens and the seven earths. This is how weighty this kalima is. This is how great this kalima is. This is how great this iman that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us. Who of us have requested or made an application or supplication or given some sweat or blood for this kalima, Allah in His great mercy and wisdom and benevolence has blessed us with the wealth of iman. My dear brothers, this iman is so great that a person will only see its real value in the akhirat. When the kuffar who have died without iman come on the day of qiyamah, they will come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and will be prepared to give this whole world full of gold in exchange of iman, but this will not be accepted at that time. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَمَاتُوا وَهُمْ كُفَّارٌ فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ أَحَدِهِمْ مِلُ الْأَرْضِ ذَهَبًا وَلَوْ افْتَدَى بِهِ أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ وَمَا لَهُمْ مِنْ نَاصِرِينَ They will want to give the whole world full with gold. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell them that this is too late now. That iman you had to bring in bil-ghayb, in the unseen. Now you have seen everything. For you there's a grievous punishment. And worse than that, there's no one that here that is going to help you. That means that will be their plight forever and ever. So how great is this iman that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. And my dear brothers, every Friday we gather in this markaz for this very same reason, to make mudhakira of this iman, to remind each other how grateful we have to be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this iman, and how we should be making a concerted effort to safeguard this iman, to protect this iman, to nurture this iman, to fortify this iman, and make such an effort that everyone else in the four corners of the world, the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, gets blessed with the wealth of iman. This is the reason of our gathering. Talks have been given by ulama ikram, you and I just make mudhakira, how our iman can be strengthened. And my dear brothers, we have in front of us the blueprint, the life of the sahaba radiallahu ta'ala wa ajma'in. And they are the ones that we have to look up to when we see the wealth of iman. Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us explicitly, فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْا Bring iman like how my Nabi and the Sahaba brought iman, and then you'll be on guidance. So we have in front of us the lives of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. And if we peep into their lives, we see that their iman, what was their iman? I mean, a Bedouin comes in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's majlis and he says that I have brought iman. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals the word, قَالَتِ الْعَرَابُ آمَنَّا قل لم تؤمنوا ولكن قولوا أسلمنا ولما يدخل الإيمان في قلوبكم أو بدون. You have just come into the fold of Islam. Your iman has not ولما يدخل الإيمان في قلوبكم. Your iman has not penetrated into your heart. Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in made such an effort that the iman was in the deep recesses of their heart. Therefore it was impossible for you to get the Sahaba to waver from his belief in the yaqeen, in the oneness of Allah, in the greatness of Allah, in the kibriyai of Allah, in the power of Allah, in the majesty of Allah. You couldn't get a Sahaba to waver from that, because his kalima was not on his lips. His kalima was deep in his heart. It was embedded in his heart. And we're reading every time. And why shouldn't we read? That is why we are told to make the talim. Talim is a means of strengthening our iman. When we read about the lives of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, this is supposed to be a means of strengthening our yaqeen in the Zat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in the words of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bilal radiallahu anhu, he's whipped at night. The kuffar take turns to whip him. And they get tired. Turn by turn they whip him. He has open wounds on his back. And on with that wounds, he's laid on the hot burning sand in Makkah al-Mukarramah. A boulder is placed on his chest so he cannot move. And he's dragged in that condition on the burning sands. And in their wake they hear the ringing of Ahad the one Allah, Ahad the one Allah, Ahad the one Allah. You cannot shift me from believing in that one Allah, who has created everything, who controls everything, in whose hands every condition lay. You cannot take me away from that belief. Ahad the one Allah, Ahad the one Allah. Ka'b bin Alad radiallahu anhu, his body is taken over smoldering charcoal. The fat and blood that oozes out of his bed extinguishes that fire. How much of fat and blood must have come out when there's burning cinders of fire? This lady that was his owner used to brand his forehead with a hot rod. And then too, the Sahabi wouldn't waver, because as we say, the iman was embedded in the recesses of the heart. We come to these gatherings, my dear brothers, for us to make this muzakirah, to take stock and introspect where my iman is and where is the iman of the Sahaba. How much of effort do I have to make on my iman to get the yaqeen that the Sahaba had? The Sahaba, Abdullah bin Hudhafa radiallahu anhu, he sent in a battle to the Romans by Umar radiallahu anhu. They are taken captive by the Roman emperor. And Hudhafa radiallahu anhu is brought in the presence of that emperor. And he's asked to accept Christianity, leave iman. That Sahaba is never going to leave iman, because that iman is nowhere near his lips. That Sahaba, in that blood that is in the heart and that is pumped in the whole body, every fiber of his body is screaming out, Ahad the one Allah. So there was no way you're going to get him to change his belief. But this Roman emperor tries, and he tells him that, I will give you my kingdom. So the Sahabi tells him that if you give me your kingdom and couple it with the kingdom of all the Arabs in the area, I wouldn't leave this iman for a blink of an eye. For a blink of an eye, I wouldn't leave this iman. No amount of worldly wealth or any other thing will take the Sahaba away from iman, from this great belief of La ilaha illallah. Musa alayhi salam was told it's better than, heavier than the seven heavens and the seven earths. We have to understand what this La ilaha illallah has to mean to us, so we will know the reality of this iman. So the Sahaba, this emperor tells him that put him on a cross and tie him on a cross. And he tells his archers, now shoot arrows at it. Shoot arrows near his hand and near his leg, but don't kill him. Carry on like this. In other words, to instill fear in him. But what fear is going to affect the Sahaba whose iman is so deeply rooted? Afterwards they realize that this is a venture not worth it. He brings him down the cross and he tells his men to get a cauldron and fill it with water and bring it to boiling point. Then bring two of the prisoners and take one prisoner and throw him in. And in front of Hudhafa radiallahu anhu, one of those prisoners is taken and thrown into the cauldron of water. Obviously he becomes shaheed. So now he tells his men, now take Hudhafa radiallahu anhu to that cauldron and put him into that cauldron as well. So Hudhafa radiallahu anhu weeps. So the king, the emperor gets this impression that now he's softened up. Now he'll give up his deen. So he tells him, why are you weeping? He tells him that I'm weeping because I have only one life. You throw me into that cauldron, I will be made shaheed. I was hoping that I have as many lives as the hairs on my body so that I can give each and every one for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was the jazbat of the sahaba. فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدِ اهْتَدَوْا. Those are our benchmarks. Where are we supposed to reach? We have to keep on revising the lessons of the Sahaba. And then we will come to realize that how much effort has to be done on this iman that's in our heart. How much of the ghayrullah that is there has to come out. How much of the greatness of Allah, the effort has to be made to get it in. Every Friday, sitting for the programs, that's insufficient. That our iman is going to fluctuate. Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu said he's munafiq. He was in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jannat and Jahannam are being discussed. They like it if it is in front of them. He goes home and his state of his heart changes. Completely he changes. He says, I've turned munafiq. When I was with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my condition was something else. When I go to my family, my condition is something else. So you and I, my brothers, we come to these gatherings. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Our iman is increased. We get the fikr and the worry. And this has to be carried forward now to our masajids when we go, and in our khuruj when we go, because this is a lifelong effort. So the sahabi is told, he tells the emperor, that if I had that many hairs on my body as I have, I would give every life for the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then this emperor tells him that, will you kiss me on my forehead? So Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu is obviously taken aback, and he's now in a dilemma. Then he asks him, then what about my fellow companions? No, he tells him that I will free you. But then what about my fellow companions? He said, I'll free all of them, provided you kiss my forehead. So he kissed the forehead for the freedom of all of his companions. And he did that reluctantly, but he wanted the freedom of his companions. When they go back to Umar radiallahu anhu, and the report of this is given to Umar radiallahu anhu, then Umar radiallahu anhu, to take that hurt that the sahabi felt on kissing the forehead of that emperor, he kissed him on the forehead. Umar radiallahu anhu kissed Hudhayfa radiallahu anhu on his forehead, and he told all the companions, you people do likewise. So these were the sahaba. Iman was not on the lips and tongues. Iman was deeply embedded in the heart. If you look at the ayat of the Quran and you see what it means, that wa ulaika humul mu'minuna haqqan. إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وعلى الله فتوكل المؤمنين ليقيموا الصلاة. They are those إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون الذين يقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون أولئك هم المؤمنون حقا لهم درجات عند ربهم ومغفرة ورزق كريم. When إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم, when Allah's name is mentioned, then their hearts tremble with fear. There's awe and taqwa in their hearts, that this is the zat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's name is mentioned. The dhikr of Allah has been made. Hey. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hadith is something to the effect. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says something to the effect that on the day of resurrection, it will be asked, where are the wise ones? Then, it will be said, where are the wise ones? So it will be asked, who are the wise ones? Say that those are people that remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala standing, reclining, sitting in every condition. And they contemplated and they meditated over the creation of the heavens and the earth. And when they looked at that, he said, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا. Oh Allah, you haven't created all of this in vain. And سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Glory to that being who is free of all blemishes. We ask you for protection from the fire of Jahannam. And it is said, then a flag will be raised. And these people that remembered Allah in all those conditions, they will be asked to enter Jannah and stay there forever. This was the great station of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, that in every condition they were aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Shaykh in the commentary of this hadith mentions an incident of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the time of the revelation of these ayats. Ma'aisha radiallahu anha says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once came to take rest in the bed, and after a little while he took wudu and he got up and he started reading his salah. And he wept profusely in his salah. While reading, he wept so profusely, his beard was wet with tears. Then he went into ruku and he wept just as much, and in sijda too. And he continued this way till Bilal radiallahu anhu called the adhan for fijr. Then it was asked of him, that, O Nabi of Allah, Allah has forgiven you. You are masoom. Why are you exerting yourself in this way? So he says, these ayats were revealed to me tonight. And why shouldn't I then be a grateful servant? And this very same ayat, إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, great loss is for that person. Great loss is for that person who reads this ayat and he does not contemplate over the creation of Allah. The contemplation of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my dear brothers, this is a phenomenon that occurs every day in our life. We get up in the morning, we see the sun rise, we see the day pass, we see the ayat of the Quran say, خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِالْحَقِّ يُكَوِّرُ اللَّيْلَ عَلَى النَّهَارِ. Allah covers the night with the day. وَيُكَوِّرُ النَّهَارَ عَلَى اللَّيْلِ. Allah covers the day with the night. Allah is the one that has full control of the sun and the moon, neither of which can move on any pathway as they choose. Allah has stipulated the pathway when and until when they will move. Allah subhanahu, inna Allaha huwa al-azizul ghaffar. Allah is mighty and Allah is forgiving. That's why, my dear brothers, thinking of this every day, no one can say every day he doesn't get a chance to see the greatness of Allah. قُلْ رَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمُ اللَّيْلَ سَرْمَدًا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ مَنْ إِلَٰهٌ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِضِيَاءٍ أَفَلَا تَسْمَعُونَ. قُلْ رَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمُ النَّهَارَ سَرْمَدًا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ مَنْ إِلَٰهٌ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِلَيْلٍ تَسْكُنُونَ فِيهِ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. They tell them, O Nabi, that if I were to make night last from now till Qiyamah, is there any other ilah that can bring day again? Won't they listen? And tell them, if I were to make day last from now till Qiyamah, is there any other ilah that can bring nightfall on them? Won't they see? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they, وَمِن رَحْمَتِهِ جَعَلَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ لِتَسْكُنُوا فِيهِ وَلِتَبْتَهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. That it is my mercy unto you that I have given you night to rest and day to do your work. And this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wherever we are, my dear brothers, we come from America, we were 6 hours behind you. And any other part of the world, globe, there will be different time frames. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows exactly at which point on this day, or the 1st of August in South Africa, when is sunrise, when it's going to be in Detroit sunrise, when it's going to be in Sydney, when it's going to be in Havana, wherever it is. Allah has a stipulated time, complete and absolute control. To the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, perfection at his best. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing what a great creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Sahaba recognized this. This was the iman of the Sahaba. That is our creator. That's our creator that has created anything. That is the sustainer who sustains everyone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sustained the Ashabi Kahf for 309 years without food and drink. Allah sustained them. Allah sustained Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam in the belly of the fish. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sustains that embryo in the mother's womb in 3 layers of darkness. Allah showed to Musa alayhi salam that within 3 layers of rock, a tiny creature with a green leaf, Allah is feeding. Allah is Razik. Allah is Khalik. Allah is Malik. Allah controls everything. Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in's iman was made to perfection. This was how the Sahaba radiallahu anhu could withstand whatever it came to their way. Then the ayah goes that innama al-mu'minuna alladhina idha dhukirallahu wajilat qulubuhum wa idha tuliyat alayhim ayatuhu zadatum imana. Listening to the ayats of the Quran, the iman is increased. And in the tafsir in Ma'arif al-Quran, it says something like this: what is meant by the iman being increased? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them the sweetness of iman. Such is the sweetness of iman that it permeates their whole body. And the whole body then is ready to carry out the commandments of Allah. That heart that was trembling with the fear of Allah is so in the obedience of Allah. رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِيهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَإِقَامِ السَّلَاةِ وَإِيْتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ يَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا تَتَقَلَّبُوا فِيهِ الْقُلُوبُ وَالْأَبْصَارِ. Why the Sahaba, they just left their businesses as they are. The call of namaz is gone. Now it's time to stand in front of Khalik and Malik and Razik. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's command. They will leave everything and go. No time to go into detail. But they leave everything. Why? يَوْمًا تَتَقَلُّبُ فِيهِ الْقُلُوبُ وَالْأَبْصَارِ. Their hearts are trembling. The eyeballs will be overturned on the time when they give accountability to Allah. The accountability of standing in front of Allah and giving accountability, this was a concern for them. Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu is in his deathbed. So long kissa. But the crux of it is that he says that by confession in La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah was the best of my deeds. And he explains his three periods of his life. That the first period, he hated Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and wanted to strangle him. Had he died in that time of his life, he would have been Jahannam. Allah granted him iman. And he brought iman on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, leaving out a few things in what he said. Then was a third part of his life where he now, if he died in the second part of his life, he said, I was destined for Jannah. But came the third part of my life when I had to now be a ruler and carry out my duties. I don't know how I fared. The fear of how I will pass away in this condition. The fear of standing in front of Allah. The fear of having to give accountability. If a person like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, who in our belief is the highest iman after the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, who's the first ummati that will go to Jannah before any of the ummat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam, whom Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam said that everyone I have repaid, but Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's repayment will take place by Allah. And he says that I wish I was a tree and I was done away with the chopping of it. I wish I was a blade of grass that I was done away with the grazing of an animal. I wish I was a hair on the body of a mu'min. And then he looks at the bird that is chirping and flying and say, oh bird, how lucky you are. You eat and you drink and you're flying around freely. You have no concern about giving any accountability. So even he is worried about giving accountability. We're speaking of the iman of the Sahaba. فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اِهْتَدَوْا. These are the salient ingredients in the iman of the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in. What was there else in the Sahaba's iman? They were all the time focused to the akhirat. The akhirat was their focal point. The desire was Jannah. Their focus was akhirat. This was the iman of the Sahaba. And this is the effort that we have to make. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes. How often we heard this, that he comes to the masjid, a Sahabi is taking rare haritha. Well, how are you this morning? I'm a true mu'min. There must be a proof of your statement. What's the proof of your statement? O Nabi of Allah, I have woken up this morning with my gaze turned away from the world. My gaze is turned away from the world. I spend my days fasting. I spend my nights in the ibadat of Allah. It is as if I can see the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I can see the people of Jannah rejoicing. And I can see the people of Jahannam in difficulty. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, O Harith, Allah has blessed you with the reality of iman. Stay steadfast. Now we'll compare that iman to ours. The other Sahabi Mu'adh bin Jabal is asked the same question. He replies in the same way. He says, When I'm in the morning, I don't know when I'm going to leave the evening. When I'm in the evening, I don't know when I'll see the morning. When I take one step, I don't know whether I'll take the next step. as if I can see the people of previous ummah with the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam giving accountability in the court of Allah. Those that were successful going to Jannah, others having difficulty in Jahannam. Oh Mu'adh, you have got the reality of Iman, remain steadfast. So these qualities about focusing in the Akhirat, realizing that our life in this world is a temporary life, soon to come to an end, no certainty. I'll take one step, I don't know whether I'll take another step. They had, their Iman had all these pertinent facts. They knew that the stay in this world was short. They knew I have to be focused to the Akhirat. They knew my object was to get Jannah. They knew that dunya was just a transitory phase. This is the muzakirah of Iman we have to make every Friday when we come and every day of our life, my respected brothers. The more we speak about this, the more this will become a reality in our life. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us for the Akhirat. Umar radiallahu anhu goes into the room of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is taking rest. He sees Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a date leaf matting. The print of that leaf matting is on the Mubarak back of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His pillow is a leather bag with the bark of a date palm in it. He surveys the contents of the room and there are three pieces of tan skin and a little bit of barley. Umar radiallahu anhu tears. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him, Umar, what are you tearing for? He said, I'm looking at what you have in your room. You are the best of Allah's creation. You're living in such dire poverty. There are people, the kings of Rome and Persia, that are living in luxury and gardens flowing, rivers flowing between their homes. Oh Nabi of Allah, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ease your difficulty. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reclining. He sits up almost in, like to tell Umar, oh Umar, are you still in this deception that this dunya is not for us? This is for them. Ours is for the Akhirat. Allahumma la aisha illa aishul akhirah. We have not been created for this dunya. The direction was completely changed towards Akhirat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we see the simplicity in our life, that which we should have. Too much time will go. Detail will be given in the Maghrib talk. But my dear brothers, simplicity is where we must head. Our Iman should be teaching us simplicity. Every week we're coming, we should be seeing how much more simplified have we made our life. We've made our life difficult. You got to go to America. There's a rat race. Every person is a professional and has degrees above the normal profession. Everyone, men, wife and children, are chasing profession, are chasing money, are chasing homes, are chasing cars. My respected brothers, if we don't watch out, if we don't change our attitude in life, if we don't start simplifying our life, we're heading somewhere else too. We have to take the steps when we go out and we see, we got to learn from them. When you go there, like you go into an environment and you're there for 6 weeks. After 6 weeks, I didn't feel the same when I felt on day one and two. Day one and two, I was shocked out of my wits. When I finished 6 weeks, I was always half accepting the things. That is what it does to you, the environment. You get so sucked in by the environment that your Iman loses its shine and loses its strength. And you find that which you held as a great wrong is only a wrong. And afterwards, that wrong is okay, partly right. And after that, the partly right can become right and we're in trouble. So that is how much of effort we have to make on that Iman. Imagine if you go to a masjid, if someone in a masjid, there's no sanctity in that masjid. There's a football game taking place, imagine in Hilal. And you're sitting there as a jamaat. And there is now, because they have come to a country that they have adopted as their country, and it's the 4th of July, and it is now Independence Day. So you got a license to do anything, even in the house of Allah. Allahu Akbar, where are we heading to? How do you get through to them? That's why, my respected brothers, and we should have the fikr. Allah gave us to be in the ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We should have the fikr and the gham of the entire ummah. How are they going to get the wheels back on the track so that they can be kept away from going into total deviation? And we were a Mastura Jamaat. So we have to even worry about those that are near and dear to us. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. Save yourself and your families from the fire of Jahannam. Kullukum ra'in wa kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyatihi. So all of you are shepherds and you should worry about your flock. So we have to worry about that, my dear brothers. Hey? So when we're coming back, I'm taking some kargozari from my family in the plane with no time, otherwise we should have always. So she tells me that this one lady, we stayed in an Afro-American home, and when we stayed there, they were pleased with them, the way they treated them, etc. This was an Afro-American home. We went in all other homes that were huge. So when we left that area, and we went and say we are in Hilal, and we went to Pietermaritzburg, that lady of that house came for the Nusrat of our Jamaat there. Then she came back. Then the next venue was Hawick. She left her house and she came to Hawick. She came to make the Nusrat there. And she says at that last place, when she was parting from them, she went to each one of our Masturat. She went to each one and sat by her side. And she said, "Sister, give me the permission to hug you. Give me the permission to hug you for the pleasure of Allah." And she hugged them. And each one, she said, "This is for the pleasure of Allah." So the wife reciprocated and said, "I hug you for the pleasure of Allah." And when she finished it, and she said, "I just want to tell you, sisters, that by your coming to my house, I have been so pleased that that spark of Iman that was dying down, you have ignited it once more. That effort that we were doing 12 years or so, a Masturat Jamaat came here. You have come back now and you've ignited that spark again." So I told my family, this lady has given you glad tidings of two ahadith. One hadith says that 7 categories of people will be under the shade of Arsh of Allah. Those people who love and part for the pleasure of Allah. And another hadith says that on the day of Qiyamah, people will be sitting on mimbers of pearls. They will be from different families and different languages. They won't be Anbiya, they won't be Shuhada. They will be people that gathered for the love of Allah and the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah will put them in homes of rubies with balconies and with pillars of emerald and balconies on all four sides. Allah has given you this great fazilat for coming out. It's been worth your coming out in the path of Allah. Inna Allah ashtara min al-mu'minina anfusahum wa amwalahum bi anna lahum al-jannah. Our wealth and our time has to be spent in the path of Allah in exchange of Jannah. In that, the last thing I will say, my respected brothers, there shouldn't be a single worker in the work of Dawat and Tabligh that does not have Talim in his house. We are saying this, how are we going to give the Dawat to anyone else if we don't have Talim in our house? We have to be present in that Talim. This is a root cause why we can't make a full Masturat Jamaat to come out from any of the localities. Because that which is the water and the fountainhead for the work of the ladies to flourish, the Talim in the home and the Talim, weekly Talim in our areas, that is not taken care of, then we'll never reach. You haven't started the race, how can you reach the end of the race? The start of the race, you know, not starting. So you want to read the end of the race and get a 40 days Jamaat there, you haven't even started the race. Allah give me and all of us tawfiq inshallah. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta.